What does the vote last week by workers at a Volkswagen plant in Tennessee to reject representation by the United Auto Workers mean for the future of unions in America? Are labor unions still relevant? Are they needed? Are they important or not? That's today's big question. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 19th. The vote against organizing was seen as a blow to the UAW and labor unions in general. Is this the end of the road for unions? Why should or shouldn't that be the case? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Volkswagen did not fight the effort to unionize its plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It allowed the UAW to campaign inside the factory. But local Republican lawmakers did campaign against the idea. And the workers voted down the representation. It was a somewhat close vote, 712 votes to 626 votes. So what does this mean for the future of labor unions in America? Well, as we usually do every Wednesday at this time, we have two guests who have different viewpoints to debate and discuss this issue in our big question. And we welcome your points that you would like them to discuss. At the end of the hour, we will have our sound off where you can voice your opinion. You can also vote in our online poll anytime. That's at wpr.org/joy. Let me welcome our guests. We have with us Ross Eisenbray, Vice President of the Economic Policy Institute. He specializes in labor and employment law, occupational safety and health, and other labor issues. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much for being with us. And we also have with us Diana Furchgott-Roth, Director of Economics 21 and a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. She's a former chief economist at the U.S. Labor Department. Good morning.
It's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Diana, I'd like to start with you. Since I see here that you tweeted after the vote at the Chattanooga, Tennessee VW plant, "Victory for America. German union thugs fail to take over the VW Chattanooga plant." In your opening statement, why did you call this a victory for America?
Well, it was extremely unusual that Volkswagen filed the petition for unionization. Generally, it's workers or a union that files a petition for the workers in a plant to be unionized. So not only did Volkswagen file the petition, but it only allowed 9 days between the filing of the petition and the vote to be unionized. The average time is 38 days. And generally, the employer allows pros and cons, anti-union people to speak and pro-union people to speak. And one reason for the 38 days is to give workers a balanced view. In this case, Volkswagen didn't allow any anti-union people to speak to workers. They had pro-UAW workers in black T-shirts with UAW logos walking the plant, and people who were not workers, representatives of the union. So this is very mysterious. It's really unprecedented, and the question is why? Well, you have to look at the makeup of the Volkswagen board. And the deputy chairman of Volkswagen's German supervisory board is Berthold Huber, chairman of the powerful German labor union IG Metall, which has over 2.3 million members. And in November, IG Metall's incoming chief said, and I'm quoting, "low wages and union-free areas. That's not a business model that IG Metall would support. If companies from VW to ThyssenKrupp entered these southern U.S. states in order to be free of unions, meaning not to acknowledge a fundamental pillar of any democracy, then we're in North Korea. That cannot be accepted." So the Germans on the VW board could not accept that the VW plant was a successful plant without being unionized. Do you know it's the only non-union VW plant in the world other than China?
Well,
so they really wanted it to be unionized, and that's why it's a victory for the American workers that they stood up to these German thugs.
Let's get to Ross's reaction to that.
I feel like I'm in outer space. This is a very weird. It's a very weird understanding of what was happening there. It's true that VW operates with a union in all but three of its plants, I think, around the world. The two that don't have a free union are in China, and then the other is here in the United States in Tennessee, and their labor relations, which are generally excellent and lead to an excellent product, involves working with a works council, which they can't have in the United States without having a union first. So there's nothing nefarious about their wanting to have a cooperative relationship with the workers. And the fact that they're in, that they chose to locate in a right-to-work state, it's sort of problematic from the point of view of do they really want a union or not, because it's much harder to have a union in a right-to-work state. But the fact of the matter is that they are unionized all around the world, and in Germany they're paying wages that are about almost twice what they are in the United States. So there's no relationship between having a union and having low wages. It's quite the opposite, that the VW experience has been to be both unionized and to pay very good wages and compensation wherever they are. So I'm to call them thugs or something, I just find remarkable, since what actually interfered with the election there was the outside involvement of groups like Grover Norquist's anti-tax group and the Right to Work Committee and mysterious groups who have never been identified, who were funding campaigns to put up billboards and to fund an anti-union organization called Southern Momentum to hire lawyers for them, and then to get Senator Bob Corker to come in and threaten the workers that if they had a union, if they voted a union, they would not get additional work in the plant, that VW, he said he knew from having talked to management that VW would send the work to Mexico or someplace else, but that they wouldn't get a new line of SUVs in the plant. So the only thuggishness that I saw in the entire campaign came from the intimidation from outside groups who were anti-union and from Senator Corker, who is well known to have voted against bailing out the U.S. auto industry.
We might get into some more specifics regarding the vote in Chattanooga, but let me get an opening statement from you, Ross, first, and then Diana, to answer our big question that we're asking this hour. Are labor unions still relevant in America, Ross? Are they still important? Are they still needed?
Well, they are. And, more than one in 10 workers in America is still unionized, although that's down from a peak of about 35% back in the 1950s. Still, there are about 15 million workers who are in unions now. So their unions are very important to them. Unions do raise wages. Union workers are paid better. They're more likely to have a pension, an employer-provided pension, they're more likely to have vacation days and paid sick days. So workers who have unions are better off in all of those ways. They also are safer. Studies show that unionized workplaces, for example, in mining, unionized workers have somewhere between 33 and 72% fewer fatalities than non-union miners. So safety is something that a union can help deliver, because it delivers a voice for the workers. It gives them a representative. And it also makes a big difference in how they're treated in the workplace. The dignity of workers and their security is better. I watched in Washington, D.C. in a big snowstorm last winter when a hospital fired a veteran nurse, a 30-year nurse with an unblemished record because she didn't make it in a snow emergency. Well, the union represented her. They showed that there was no way on earth she could make it in, and they won her job back. And so, you know, in little ways like that for an individual, in big ways like the UAW lobbying to save the U.S. auto industry and having the political power and the clout to persuade Congress and the president to intervene and save the auto industry, yes, unions are very important.
So what's your response to that, Diana, and your answer to the question, are labor unions still relevant in America?
Well, fewer than 7% of private sector workers choose to belong to unions today. So you and your listeners can judge whether they're relevant. 93% of American workers operate outside unions and choose not to belong to them. Private sector workers, yes, 36% of public sector workers are unionized. But the vast majority, 93% of private sector workers choose not to be unionized. And you can see the example from VW. I mean, if Volkswagen workers had chosen to belong to the union, they would have paid about $500 a year in dues to shore up the pensions of UAW's 600,000 retirees. You see, the United Auto Workers has 600,000 retirees and about 380,000 some members, far more retirees than members, so they need to get more members to pay the retirees' pensions. And quite rightly, workers in Chattanooga did not think that was a good deal. Also, entry-level workers in Detroit, in the Big Three, are paid about $15 an hour right now. And on average, Tennessee workers in the Volkswagen plant are paid about $19 or $20 an hour. So they didn't think they were getting anything from union membership. And in workplace after workplace, American workers are deciding the same thing, that they don't want to be paying union dues for what's basically nothing. They also observe that when many plants are unionized, they go out of business or go offshore, such as the Westmoreland plant that VW had in Pennsylvania that made the Volkswagen Rabbit. It was unionized. It went bust. So that's why these days, in the 21st century, more American workers are deciding not to join unions. And so that's why they are less relevant than they used to be.
Today's big question, are labor unions still relevant in America? Do you think labor unions are still important, are still needed in the United States? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 23 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 19th. We have two guests with us who have different viewpoints on today's big question. Are labor unions still relevant in America? We're asking this question after a loss by the United Auto Workers last week. UAW was expected to chalk up a victory at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. However, employees last week voted against organizing, and that has a lot of people asking about the future of organized labor. Let's take some calls for our guests. We have Mark in Lake Geneva first. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, what is your thought on this?
Well, I feel that labor unions, at their core, are a good thing, but it seems like in recent years, that a lot of Americans have lost trust for corporate America, and I think that might be, you know, feeding into why we're seeing a decline of the unions, just from all the, you know, litigious and political movements that unions make nowadays. It almost seems like and workers being taken advantage of in a lot of situations, and I think that's where some of the distrust comes from.
I guess I'm not quite understanding, Mark. You say that we don't trust big corporations, but that also means we don't trust the unions?
Well, it seems like the unions are almost becoming a big business now.
Okay.
With the lawyers and the way that everything shakes out in the end, it seems like we're paying one corporation to watch another.
All right. Well, Russ, so what's your response to that?
Oh gosh, it's hard to know in any individual case why workers choose to have a union or not. The statistics on what happens in a typical organizing campaign are that workers get fired. There are threats and intimidation by management. Most employers don't take the attitude that VW did of being neutral or even somewhat positive to having the union there. Most employers have fought very viciously in some cases, firing lots of employees and making threats to move a plant to Mexico or just to some other location. So it's hard to know whether the workers are voting when they do against a union because they're frightened and they've been intimidated, or whether they think that the union is too close to the corporation. I think it's pretty rare that people mistake the representation that a union is going to give them with the interests of the company. Mm-hmm. The company certainly don't see it that way.
I'm going to get Diana to respond to this too, but you brought up, Ross, the UAW President Bob King said that U.S. Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee intimidated VW workers by saying that the plant was more likely to expand if employees voted against unionization. You're a labor attorney.
Yes.
Is King right? And if so, is the UAW going to do anything about this?
Well, Senator Corker is a third party, so unfair labor practice charges can only be brought against the employer or its agent. So in this case, there are two possibilities. Either Corker was just making it up or lying, and because he so wanted the union to lose, he wanted to frighten the workers, or it's possible that the company, someone in a position of power in the company, did tell him that and did want him to let the workers know that they would be better off if they voted against the union, that it was that the company essentially had made him their agent. And if that could be shown, then that would be an unfair labor practice against the company.
And the UAW is exploring its legal options. How concerned are you, Diana, about having this vote again, or your response to those charges?
Well, I would say that any kinds of threats or intimidation were on the part of Volkswagen rather than on the part of Corker. Volkswagen just gave 9 days before the election, not the traditional, not the average 38 to 40. It did not allow any anti-union meetings at the plant. In other words, workers who were against the union were not allowed to use conference rooms to have meetings. All the information was in favor of the union rather than against it. And I think that put off a lot of the workers in the Chattanooga plant. They didn't like being pressured. And also, more importantly, looking northward at the big three, which were the companies that needed bailouts? It was Chrysler and GM. It wasn't the non-union plants in the south that were Nissan and Mercedes and Honda and VW. So I think that they looked around, they saw that their average pay was greater than the average pay of new entrants that the UAW had negotiated for the big three. You see, their pay for new entrants was about $19 or $20 an hour. The United Auto Workers had negotiated entry-level pay of $15 an hour for GM and for Chrysler, and then they looked at the $500 that would be taken out of their paychecks
to go to the UAW, to pay the salaries of the union bosses, to pay retirement funds of retirees in Detroit. And they thought, well, we're better off without the union. And I think it's a choice many, many American workers are making when they have a secret ballot vote.
We need to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will be back continuing talking with our two guests about today's big question. Do you think labor unions are still relevant in the United States? You can vote in our online poll at WPR.org/joy. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show. Tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Or call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We are talking with Ross Eisenbray, Vice President of the Economic Policy Institute, who is speaking in favor of unions. And we are also talking with Diane Furchgott-Roth, who is speaking against unions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with two guests coming from opposing perspectives about today's big question. Are labor unions still relevant in America? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Wednesday, February 19th. The United Auto Workers, the UAW, was expected to easily truck up another victory at a Volkswagen plant in Tennessee. However, last week, employees voted against organizing. A big surprise to many. And having many raise the question whether there's a future for big labor. So we thought we would talk about this with two guests and with you. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have with us Diane Furchgott-Roth. She is Director of Economics 21 and a Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. And Ross Eisenbray, Vice President of the Economic Policy Institute. And we have many callers, so let's go to Charles in Wausau, who's been waiting. Hi, Charles.
Hey, good morning. I'm a proud union member, and in 2011, when Wisconsin's governor declared his divide and conquer strategy against the unions and workers' rights in Wisconsin, my non-union friend said, "Well, you know, unions are redundant because all the rights that they stood for and fought for are now codified in federal law." But since that defeat, what we've seen in Wisconsin, and I think nationwide, is an attack on all those rights, on health care, on the right for corporations to raid pensions while simultaneously giving their CEOs enormous benefits. The 40-hour work week is under attack. Equal pay for women is under attack. And in 2012, a leading Republican presidential candidate advocated for the return of child labor. So I don't think we can say anymore that what unions fought for are redundant, because all of that is under attack. And I would say that what happened in Chattanooga is not really a victory for America. It's more a victory for the anti-worker propaganda machine that perpetuates wage slavery in this country.
All right, Charles. Diana, what's your response to his observation?
Well, my observation is that these workers in Tennessee are not stupid. They voted not to unionize, and I think that Charles should respect their opinion. No one is pulling the wool over their eyes, and I think it's important in these cases to have a secret ballot vote, which, by the way, Ross's firm was trying to take away with hard check. And with getting rid of the secret ballot, it's important to have a secret ballot. As far as the other things that Charles mentioned, equal pay for women, we still have equal pay for women. Men and women in the same jobs are paid the same. If they have the same experience and tenure, if they are not, the woman is allowed to sue. We have even more government health care with the new Affordable Care Act. So I don't think that any of these things he's stating are coming to pass. In fact, since
Governor Walker took his stand against collective bargaining, we've had more rather than fewer rights for Americans in the workplace.
Ross, what's your response to that?
I think that the notion that Diana has sort of in a contradictory way put forward that the cooperation, the cooperative arrangement that VW had with the UAW, where they wouldn't fight them and they would let the workers choose, was somehow thuggish, is bizarre. I think that whatever the reasons were that the workers there chose not to be represented by the UAW, it's not a message to all of America that unions are irrelevant, since in North Carolina, another southern state, very recently, 3,000 workers at a different German auto plant, a truck plant, the Freightliner, Daimler Freightliner plant, chose to be unionized. You know, that didn't get as much attention. It also didn't have the involvement of all these outside forces. It didn't have Grover Norquist and Senator Corker and the Right to Work Committee involved in it. It was just the workers choosing for themselves, and they chose to be union, 3,000 of them. So, you know, compare that to what happened in Chattanooga. I would say you can't really draw conclusions about all of America and what workers want from one case or the other.
What's your response to the
argument? He was just proving what I was saying, Joy. I was saying it was thuggish of them only to give 9 days and not to allow anti-union meetings at the plant. I'm not familiar with Daimler, but I'm sure they gave more than 9 days. They probably gave the average, which was about 38, and they probably allowed pro and contra for and against union meetings. So that was not thuggish. They laid out the options. So he's proving what I was saying. And it's also
actually, you know, now, Diana, if you're going to interrupt, I have to tell you that this organizing campaign in Chattanooga started 2 years ago. It's not like everybody found out about it 9 days before the election. It's been going on for 2 years. There have been outside groups involved. Every side of this has been aired. There have been public rallies against the union. It's just not true that this was some sort of stealth effort. It's just simply not true.
One last response on that, and then we're going to the broader issue.
All right, Joy, VW filed the papers for unionization, VW, not the workers, on February 3rd for the election to be held on February 12th. That 9 days, as Ross would agree, is unprecedented. It's unprecedented. The fact they did not allow any anti-union meetings in the plant is also unprecedented. It's because the Germans, IG Metal, on the Volkswagen board were pressuring Volkswagen to do this. And it says a lot for the workers of Chattanooga to stand up to these German thugs.
Okay, we're kind of getting into the weeds now. Our caller mentioned that a lot of his friends said that unions are redundant, that in this day and age there are federal laws on the books that protect workers' safety and pay and discrimination and that sort of thing. Ross, what is your response to that argument that we just don't need unions today?
Well, it's actually, we have widespread employer lawlessness, so that we do have laws that say, for example, you have to be paid for the hours that you work and you have to be paid at least the minimum wage. But studies show that among the low-wage workforce, 45% or 50% of workers are cheated week in and week out. They're not paid their proper pay. They're not paid overtime. They're forced to work off the books. So, you know, if they had a union, those workers, if they had a union to protect them, they would certainly be better off in the area of safety and health. As I said earlier, if you are in a union mine, your chances of being killed are much less than if you're in a non-union mine where, you know, think of these recent, over the last several years, the big branch disaster, the Sago mine disaster, where you know, 29 workers in one case, six in another were killed. These are non-union mines that were operating outside of the law, because it's one thing to have the law, and it's another to have it enforced. And the federal government only has 1,000 OSHA inspectors for the entire country. It only has about 1,000 wage and hour inspectors for the entire country with 7 million employers. They can't get to every workplace. So the odds of having the law enforced are much better if you have an organized voice, if the workers are represented and they can take a case. They can let OSHA know, for example, that the rules aren't being followed and have an inspection, or they can call in a wage hour inspector or sue on behalf of the workers themselves.
Yeah. What's wrong with having that, Diana?
Well, to answer your question, we have the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. We have now the Affordable Care Act, which is going to require employers to provide insurance, health insurance, or the government can provide it. We have MSHA, the Mining Safety and Health Administration. We have Employee Benefits Safety Administration. We have a panoply of these groups at the Labor Department that are supposed to protect workers' rights. So if union membership is so worthwhile, why are not Americans flocking to these union jobs? Why don't Americans all stand up and say, we want to belong to unions? Well, it's the opposite. Union membership has been steadily decreasing over the past 25 and 30 years. It's now only about 6.7% of private sector workers. All the others choose not to belong to a union. They flock to non-union jobs. And nothing stops people who think that they are put upon, who think they're being treated badly, from going out and getting a better job. We have a labor force of about 156 million people. Every year there are about 50 million separations. People change jobs all the time. We see they are not changing to union jobs. They're changing to non-union jobs. Why? They don't like paying the union dues. They don't like the system of being compensated by seniority instead of by merit. And they want to be in a non-union environment.
Well, according to the U.S. Labor Department, in 2013, private sector union membership did grow by 281,000, which is the biggest one-year gain in 30 years. What about that, Diana?
No, that's true. That was, however, an anomaly. In that year also, public sector unionization, public sector union members declined, so we are about the same. It was a slight blip up, but it's far different from 25 or 30 years ago when union membership was well into the double digits.
Why aren't we flocking to unions, Ross? Are you there, Ross?
I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay. Yeah, the way workers get a union is not by you don't flock to a union, you have to vote for a union. And you have to vote for a union in a situation where 19 times out of 20, the employer is very hostile to having a union. And so when the workers start to try to organize, the government really doesn't protect them. There are no fines for employers who violate the labor laws and discriminate against union workers, fire them, intimidate them. There's no fine for a company that threatens to move its plant to Mexico, for example. You know, when Walmart was organized, when workers, for example, unionized the butcher operation at a Walmart store, Walmart closed down the operation. And that's legal. So it's not that workers don't want unions. Every poll shows that a majority of Americans, if they had the opportunity to vote for a union and have a union in their workplace, would want one. That's what polling shows. So, you know, if people had a choice of going to a unionized workplace or not, I think that they would. They would choose that.
They would want
the higher wages that go with being union.
We are running...
If I could just say one thing, threats and intimidation are not legal. Union can fire an unfair labor practice,
And but there's no penalty for making them. There's no penalty. That's my point, that the law is not there.
There is a penalty. There are substantial fines for employers that break the law in this area.
That is an absolute misstatement. Sorry? That's just wrong, Diana, and you're misinforming the audience. That's
Let me bring us both to the closing statements. Diana, where are we heading as a country with regard to unions? Will we see more right-to-work states, for example, more states getting tough on public sector unions? Are private sector unions at the end of the road?
Well, we have been seeing more right-to-work states, and one reason for that is that states feel as though they have to be right-to-work in order to compete. But interestingly enough, right-to-work states are generating more union members than the forced unionization states. So a right-to-work state in itself does not bring fewer union members, because union membership is increasing faster in right-to-work states than forced unionization states. I think that we are going to, since it's very difficult to predict the future, but on the basis of the past, we have seen that union membership is declining as people think that they have better things to do with their money than pay union dues for a product that they don't think is very valuable to them. They don't see the need to pay salaries for union bosses. They don't see the need to pay for pensions that they might not even get, or for existing retirees. So I think that in an area where the where workplaces continue to be more and more individualized with the internet, and the economy continues to be more and more entrepreneurial, I think union membership is going to be less valuable to private sector workers.
Ross, what do you see ahead for unions?
Well, it's true. Unions have been in decline for a long time, and simultaneous with the decline in unions has been a loss of bargaining power for all of American workers. I mean, your listeners, I'm sure, know that wages have been essentially stagnant in the United States for about 30 years. Even though the wealth of the nation has grown tremendously, we've gotten more and more unequal, because the people who control the corporations and the stock owners of the corporations and the executives whose pay has been rising astronomically have done everything that they can to suppress wage growth. They've fighting unions, keeping unions out of their workplaces has been a very important part of that. So if this trend continues, if we have less unionization, we will also have further declines in wages and a middle class that's shrinking and finding it very hard to meet its needs.
Ross Eisenbray is vice president of the Economic Policy Institute, and Diana Furtscott-Roth is the director of Economics 21 and senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. We thank them both for being our guests on today's Big Question. Well, you've heard from both sides. Now, what do you think? It's time for Sound Off. Are labor unions still relevant in America? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Time for you to sound off now on today's Big Question. Are labor unions still relevant? Are they needed? Are they important or not? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll give you 30 seconds to state your case, and our first caller is Gary in Merrill. Hello, Gary.
Yes, hello. When we talk about unions, we're always talking about the people at the bottom, but we should remember that people like Limbaugh and Hannity and all of sports, the pro sports, they all have extremely powerful unions and contracts, and they're multi-million dollar contracts, and they take care of themselves very well, but they just don't want the people at the bottom to get up in life.
Thank you very much, Gary. There's one for unions. Jim in Waukesha. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I just want to say that, get like your guy just said a little bit ago, that the unions set the standards for the wages. I work in construction, and if it wasn't for unions setting a standard for the wages, the non-union workers would not work non-union. You know, the non-union companies have to keep up with the pay at least in order to keep people working for them. When the non-working, non-union workers realize how bad their standards are compared to union workers, they'll open their eyes.
Thank you very much, Jim. Richard on Facebook says, the battles have been fought and won. There are now countless regulations at all levels of government protecting the safety and rights of workers, especially public sector workers. There is most certainly no abuse or harsh working conditions to strike over. These are cherry jobs which people get on waiting lists for. Our next caller is Carol in Madison. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I wish the guests could have gotten into this because the female guest, whose name I forget, kept bringing it down to a financial calculation. I believe that I kept my job because I was a state employee who reported a statistic counter to the governor's, and it appeared in the newspaper, and I didn't lose my job because I had a union that protected me from being fired unjustly. And we also still have the whistleblower law, but I don't think that provides all the protections that state employees need. I believe that it was the union that saved my job.
Thank you very much, Carol, with our 30-second rule here. Tim in Mishicot. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. I am for unions. I'm originally from Fond du Lac. My dad was a union worker. I worked in several different factories, and you know, quite blankly, I don't have the time, money, energy, maybe the intelligence to go out and get a PhD in governmental politics, et cetera, and you know, 20 years experience. And
I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Tim. There's your 30 seconds. Jeff in Green Bay, you're the last caller.
I'm going to say I'm against them, but as long as they continue to fight for jobs for people who are surfing porn at work and getting their jobs back, they're going to continue to turn people off. But I will concede that there is a place in some companies for economic and for safety reasons.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, thanks very much for all of your input during today's big question. You can continue voting online at WPR.org/joy. So far, 85% of you voting online say yes. Labor unions are still relevant. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Robin Cherry for producing this program. This is the Ideas Network.